12. If you've got one of the church Bibles, you'll want to turn to page 542, or if you have one of the large print Bibles, to page 814. Psalm 12, and I'll pray and ask for the Lord's help as we meet together. Father God, we thank you that your word is a lamp, a light for us to guide us in this world. We thank you for the good gift of your word to us, for the joy of knowing your voice in our lives. And we pray that tonight we would have that experience of your word as a lamp, as a light, as a source of joy and encouragement and comfort to us. And we pray that as we meet around your word this evening, that it would encourage us in the week to come to continue to listen for your voice through your word, to continue to read and to reflect and to pray and to share your word, that we might know you better in the week to come. We pray this in the name of our precious Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you know that the average British man lies 1,250 times a year? Or do they? How do you know? How do you know I didn't just make that up? Isn't it frustrating how much human communication is not transparent? All of the lies that take place, all of the flattery and the double talk, all of the exaggerated boasting and the selfishness that takes place in human speech. Isn't that frustrating that we don't always know who we can trust and when and how much? And isn't it frustrating that however hard we try, we find ourselves caught up in that as well, even as God's people? We are people of truth, but sometimes we like to bend the truth just a little. And isn't it wonderful that this evening we can meet together and remember that God's speech is not like ours, that God's speech is not like ours. We're continuing this series, started in June, finished in December, hopefully. This series that I've called More Than a Book, we're thinking about the Bible, God's word to us, different images that God gives us to describe what his word is like. The word that we often encounter as a book, but it's not an ordinary book. It is, amongst other things, we started with a lamp. God gives us this light so we can navigate through this dark, confusing world. It's a sword, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, part of the armor that God gives us so that we can stand firm in any situation we find ourselves in this world. It's, as we saw this morning, a hammer that comes with the power and authority of our Creator, accomplishing his purposes in judgment and also in salvation. And then this evening, we have another image of God's word as like pure silver, flawless. In a world where so much human speech is far from flawless, confusing, God's word shines like silver, flawless, pure silver. So let's read Psalm 12 and think about what God is saying to us together this evening. Psalm 12 is a psalm written by David, led by the Holy Spirit, and these are the words that we have. Save, O Lord, for the godly one is gone, for the faithful have vanished from among the children of man. Everyone utters lies to his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts, those who say, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are with us, who is master over us? because the poor are plundered, because the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver, refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. You, O Lord, will keep them. You will guard us from this generation forever. On every side, the wicked prowl, as vileness is exalted among the children of man. May God bless his word to us this evening. So we have the psalm writer here with some of the frustrations that we can face in life, with all of the messiness of human speech. This psalm writer who's not quite sure who to trust, looking around at the people around, wondering where the faithful people have gone, saying, well, everyone utters lies. Everyone is speaking lies to his neighbour, listening to the speech around him and hearing lies. And not just lies. And then again in verse 2, flattery. Lies, flattery, double talk. Verse 3, this exaggerated boasting, this self-centered speech. These people who say, well, we're going to prevail. who's master over us? This self-centered and abusive speech as well, because the end result is the poor and the needy are suffering at the hands of these boasters. The psalm writer looking around, and David hearing all of this human speech filled with lies and flattery and double talk and exaggerated boasts and selfishness and abuse. And then in verse 5, the Lord speaks. In verse 5, the Lord speaks and says, well, I will now arise. I will place him in the safety for which he longs. The Lord speaks. And what's his word like when he speaks? Does he speak lies? Does he flatter? Does he indulge in double talk or exaggerated boasting? Does he speak selfish words of abuse when he says these words? God's speech is not like that. When God says these words, when God says, I will now arise, I'll place him in the safety for which he longs, what are God's words like? In verse 6, we get this wonderful picture. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver, refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. The word of the Lord, like pure, refined silver. Precious words, like silver. And in the historical world of the psalmist, silver was more precious than gold. This is not the second best kind of statement. This is precious, precious stuff, like silver. And not slightly tainted silver. Silver that's been refined, that doesn't have any of those impurities in it, free from impurities, refined, pure. And not just purified once, the image that we get, the symbol of purified seven times, and seven in the Bible is a number of completeness and perfection, perfectly pure, perfectly flawless. This word of the Lord, like perfectly refined silver, completely flawless, completely precious, like it's gone through the strictest divine quality control. This word that's perfectly worth holding on to. And when we can be in this world and listen to all kinds of human speech and wonder what we can trust and what we can hold on to, here the word of the Lord comes and is so different, always pure and flawless and trustworthy. A verse that we've come to often in our series, slightly disjointedly, It's this verse in 2 Timothy. All scripture is breathed out by God. That these words that we have in the Bible, written down by human hands, but coming from the mouth of God. And because these words come from the mouth of God, coming with the character of God as well. These words that have the same character as the one who speaks them. Pure, perfect, trustworthy, flawless God who speaks. That this evening we can hold in our hands pure silver from the mouth of God, flawless, reliable words. When we're surrounded by so much untruth, not sure who we can trust sometimes, we know we can trust this one, this Lord who speaks these pure words of silver. And I want to see three things about these words to encourage us this evening as we think about this picture of the Lord's words being pure and flawless. Three things about these words to encourage us. The first thing is this, that these are words that will not be retracted. The Lord speaks words that will not be retracted. I think there are few things that are more uncomfortable than watching someone being caught out in a lie. Isn't that uncomfortable to watch if you're watching an interview and someone gets caught out in a lie? And I think the reason why we find it so uncomfortable is because we fear the same thing will happen to us at some point, but it's uncomfortable to watch. I saw recently a clip online of an MP being interviewed on Radio 5 Live, and in the course of this interview, they made up a statistic, completely made up, and they were challenged by the presenter about this statistic. And their reply was, and I quote, "I'm producing a number to try to illustrate what I believe," which is a roundabout way of saying, "I'm lying to you," except I don't want to call it lying. They just made up this number to make their own position look better, completely fabricated. God doesn't do that. God doesn't make stuff up to mislead us and deceive us. God doesn't say something to us and then backtrack and say, actually, that wasn't quite true. I have to hold my hands up and tell you how things really are. As we read in Numbers 23, verse 19, he's not a man that he should lie, or son of man that he should change his mind. He's not a God who lies. In fact, he's a God who does not lie. The words he speaks are trustworthy words, not ones that he'll have to retract and admit he was just making it up all along, but these are trustworthy words. He doesn't lie to make himself look better. Why would he need to if he's already the perfect God? He doesn't lie to make himself look better, and nor does he lie to make us feel better. That's important. He doesn't flatter us with false words to make us feel better. That what we hear from the mouth of God are reliable, true words. He's open with us and plain with us about how things are. So he tells us in his word about how things were created at the beginning, about how humans were created in his image, created to know him. He tells us the truth about that. And then he tells us the truth about how things are now, how things have fallen, how all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, fallen short of what we were created to be, fallen short of God's perfection and standards. God doesn't lie about that. He tells us the truth about how things are. He tells us the truth about the fact that the wages of sin is death. Tells us the truth about what we deserve for our sin, for the ways we've turned away from God, that we deserve death, not just physical death, but the judgment of spiritual death, cut off from God forever. God tells us the truth about that. Then he tells us the truth about the answer. that is free gift. His eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He's playing with us. He's not tricking us. He tells us that there is an answer in Christ Jesus, our Lord, the one who came down from heaven to earth to deal with our sin, to die, to take away our sin, so that as we trust him, we can have the new life that comes from knowing him, new life now and forever. God tells us the truth about that. We won't get to the day of judgment and find we've been misled or sold false information. God speaks the truth. God speaks to us plainly. God tells us how things are. What we read, what we hear from his voice. Not words that are going to be retracted. Not words that he's going to issue a public apology for having said. Not words that he's going to backtrack on. But words that are true. You think about Jesus when he was on this earth and we have the accounts of his life. And he was a man of truth. A man of integrity, a man of transparency. That same character is what we find in these words. True, trustworthy, not a lie, not to deceive us or to mislead us, but pure words, like refined silver, flawless words that won't be retracted. Something else that we can say about these words. That these are words that won't be corrected. These are words that won't be corrected. When I was a young lad, I was taught that there was a planet called Pluto. Some of you may have heard of it. This planet called Pluto, the ninth planet of the solar system. And as I grew up, there was a point at which I was told that Pluto may not be a planet after all. That new facts had come to light since I was born that called into question the whole status of Pluto as a planet. That actually there may only be 8 planets in the solar system, or at one point there was even possibly 10, I don't know. These new facts had come to light. And all of these textbooks were going to be corrected with this new information that had been discovered. That's something we find in other contexts when things get put into print. That sometimes we don't have all of the facts. And we need to correct what we've said, what we've written. It's why newspapers have correction columns. Don't have all the facts. Words need to be corrected. But when we come to God's word, we come to the words of someone who does have all of the facts. Someone who does know how things really are. The one who created this world, so he knows exactly what it's like, and he created us as well. In fact, even knows how many hairs are on each of our heads, which is easier to count in some cases than others. But he knows all of these details. He knows whether Pluto's a planet or not. And he also knows... He knows, you get that those questions in the book of Job where God fires all of these questions and says, well, do you know this? Were you there then? And Job is just standing and can't answer, but God knows all of it. God knows his creation. He knows how things are. So when he speaks as the one who knows all of the facts, who has the full knowledge of the facts. So there's nothing to be corrected. If we have this God who wants to speak truth, which he does, he's not a God who lies, and he knows all of the facts, which he does, he's the creator, then there's no reason for his words to be corrected. Throughout history, he's spoken through human spokespeople. These words were written down with human hands holding a pen or equivalent writing implement. But as those humans wrote, carried along by the Spirit kept them from any error. And although we see different personalities in the human authors of Scripture, yet the divine author means there are no errors, nothing to be corrected, no mixture of a bit of truth and a bit of not quite truth, but pure, refined silver, perfectly pure and refined, purified 7 times, not the first draft. the finished product of truth, God's truth, words that won't need to be corrected. And it's important to think about what this actually applies to. And at this point, we could have a quiz question, because I know how some of you enjoyed the quiz questions at our anniversary last Sunday. I know most of you didn't enjoy them, but for the few that did, I'm going to display on the screen in a moment part of a Bible verse. And in this verse, there will be a missing word. And when you see the verse, I want you to shout out the missing word, okay? And hopefully, this is one that even you, Mike, might be able to get right. So here's the verse. What's the missing word? All, yes, all scripture is breathed out by God. All scripture is breathed out by the one who intends to speak truth to us, the one who has full knowledge of the facts. So all scripture comes with that guarantee of truth that doesn't need to be corrected. Whether God is speaking about what he's like, when he says that he's merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, he's speaking as the one who has the full knowledge of what he's like. He's speaking truth. We can trust it. It doesn't need to be corrected. Or if he's talking about the way that we are saved and brought into relationship with him through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the free gift of life. Well, God speaks as the one who has the full knowledge of the facts about salvation and our sin. And so these are true words that don't need to be corrected. We can trust them. But also when he's speaking about what's happened in history, the history of this world, the history of his people from Genesis all the way through the Bible. So those things too. We get God's view on history, the one who has the full knowledge of the situation and wants to speak truth about it to us, whatever page you land up on in the Bible. It's a reliable truth that doesn't need to be corrected, that you can trust and put your confidence in. That if God says in the Bible that something is true, it's true. If God says something is true, it's reliable. When Jesus was on this earth, the way he quoted the Old Testament scriptures and the way he used those scriptures, it was clear that he trusted them all as reliable. And if Jesus did that, then, well, so can we. These words of truth that won't be corrected. And at this point, I will address one thought that may be bubbling up in your mind, perhaps. It might not be. Not the thought of whether there's another quiz question. There isn't this week. Maybe next week. But the question is this. If this is the word of God that doesn't need to be corrected, some of you may think, well, the copyright page of my Bible that I'm holding tells me that it's a revised edition or an updated edition. And we're aware that there are differences in different English translations that we're holding this evening. And some of you, as I was reading it, may have noticed some of the little differences in Psalm 12. But I think that doesn't need to concern us too much. Because the reason why our English translations are updated is not because God's truth is being updated. No, God's truth is not being updated, it stays the same. The words that God originally gave, they need no revision, they need no updating, they need no correction. And so the reason why English translations are updated is to better reflect in the English that we use those unchanging words. And as those English translations that we have, whatever you're holding this evening, as they reflect those unchanging words, so God speaks through these translations. God speaks to us in English. God speaks to us through his word in the ESV or NIV or NKJV or the Authorized Version or whatever. God speaks to us. The pure silver of his mouth shines through even in our English translations. And whether this evening you've got a translation in verse 6 that talks about pure words or flawless words, or whether you've got a translation that tells you about a furnace on the ground, or a furnace of clay, or a crucible, or a furnace of earth, God can speak to you to reliably assure you that his word is true and perfect and flawless. That God speaks to us with this unchanging, uncorrected truth of what he's like, his plans for the world, his plans for us. These words that won't be corrected. When God speaks, there's no correcting to be done. So words that won't be retracted, words that won't be corrected, one more thought. These are also words that won't be defeated. God speaks words that will not be defeated. One of the things about human communication is it doesn't come with any guarantees about the future. Our human speech doesn't come with guarantees about the future. I remember speaking to you, a number of you, on Wednesday the 20th of June, and I said, see you on Sunday. And I had every intention of seeing you on Sunday. The spirit was indeed willing, but the appendix was ruptured, and so it didn't happen. But when we're dealing with God, his word can come with guarantees about the future, because he's the God who knows the end from the beginning, and more than that, he's even the God who declares the end from the beginning. He knows it, and he declares it, and he can guarantee it, that nothing will defeat the words that he speaks, nothing will overcome them or thwart them. Lots of opposition may be raised against them, but that opposition in the end will fail. God's words are pure words that won't be defeated. And that's the confidence that David has when he writes this psalm. That when the Lord says, I'll now arise, I'll place him in the safety for which he longs, David says, yes, I can trust that, because these words are pure words like silver, flawless words that don't ever lose their shine. Verse 7, you, O Lord, will keep them, and nothing can stop you keeping them if you intend to keep them. You, O Lord, will keep them. There will never come a point, friends, when God will say, oh dear, that didn't work out as I expected. God doesn't say that. When you look at the Bible, and the Bible as we have it now, it's not something that just fell down from heaven one day. This is what God spoke to his people over, bit by bit, over various bits of history at different times, bit by bit, not revealing everything at once. We couldn't have handled that, but giving us bit by bit. But there's no point where God had to give a new bit of words because things hadn't worked out as he expected. There's some things that, for example, we don't go to the temple and offer animal sacrifices anymore. But that's not because God's plan A had been defeated and his words had been overcome, and so he had to say something new. That was just his plan all along, was that those animal sacrifices were preparing people for the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who gave himself up once for all for our sin. There's never a point in history where God has said, that didn't work out as I expected, because God's words won't be defeated. Which means, excitingly for us this evening, there is no third testament still to come. There's no third testament we're waiting for where Jesus will say, well, you know where I said that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me? Well, sorry about this, but we've had to downgrade that to 60% of authority in heaven and 40% on earth. It's not going to happen. There's never going to be a third testament where Jesus will say, well, sorry to have to say this, but you know where I made that promise of the new heavens and the new earth, the home of righteousness? Well, sadly, we've had to negotiate a new deal. So it's not quite going to be like that. It's still better than a no deal, but it's a new deal. It's not quite like that. It's not going to happen. Because God's words will not be defeated. And that, by the way, is why at the beginning of our service we could sing that God will never, no, never, no, never forsake. He can guarantee it. He can speak those words and they can be flawless and true words forever with a divine guarantee of truth. The words of the Lord are pure words like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, words that will not be retracted, that will not be corrected, that will not be defeated. There are two words as we bring this all together. There are two words beginning with I that often appear in statements about what churches believe. I think we only have one of them in our statement of faith, our statement of belief. But they often go together. They're these two words, inerrant and infallible. And I often read these words in statements of faith, inerrant and infallible, word of God. And they always sound to me like quite dry words. And in themselves, they don't sound like very exciting words, inerrant and infallible. They may not be very exciting words, but they're very exciting truths. That what we have in the word of God, what we have in the scriptures, the inerrant and infallible word of God, we have God speaking to us, and God speaking with the character of God, true, trustworthy, reliable, and pure. And because God is speaking, we can be confident that these words are completely true, that is, inerrant, without error. That these words, they will not fail us. They are infallible, completely dependable. God speaks with these words that are completely true, completely dependable. And when we're in a world of so much human speech that is confusing and complicated and messy here, we can hold on to this, that these are the pure and perfect words of a pure and perfect God. You can take these words and you can stake your life on it, your eternal life on these words. The words of the Lord are pure words like silver refined in a furnace on the ground. This picture of these words like pure, perfect, flawless silver, this makes it worth reading the Bible tomorrow, doesn't it? That these are true, trustworthy, reliable words. It's not that you read the Bible on Monday and Tuesday you find out that God was tricking you. You're not going to read the Bible on Monday and find out on the day of judgment that things have changed. You're not going to read the Bible on Monday and then discover that God's promises won't hold true in the end. These are words worth reading and reflecting on and sharing. And we may not understand everything when we open the Bible tomorrow morning. We may not understand exactly what it is that's true that we're reading. And we may have atheist friends who like to throw curveballs at us and tell us, well, how does this fit together with that? And we may have to say, I don't know. But we can say, we know the Lord. We know that he is true and trustworthy and reliable. So we're going to trust him. Even when we don't know everything, we're going to trust him. We're going to ask that he would help us to understand more. And we'll keep trusting him. Keep reading his word. Keep listening to his word. Keep reflecting on his word. Keep praying for more understanding of his word. Knowing that what God says is true is true. That what God promises will happen, will happen. That these words are pure words like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified 7 times. Praise him for that. Let's praise him for that. Let's pray together. Father God, we praise you for the truth and the purity of your words to us, that you don't speak in lies or double talk. You don't speak with uncertainty about the future, but that your words are words that we can receive with confidence. And we ask that we would have that confidence in as long as we are here on this earth, that we would stand on the words you've given, that we would hold fast to them, that we'd want to know more of them, and that we'd keep looking forward to the future that you promise in your word, a future with our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We would look forward to that future with absolute confidence, knowing that you are God who speaks truth and can guarantee that truth will come to pass. We give you thanks and praise this evening in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again and is coming soon. In his name we pray. Amen. So as we close this evening, we're going to sing a song of commitment together, a song that, where we say that we will stand on every promise of God's word, these pure, reliable, trustworthy promises. We will stand on them. Let's stand and sing together.